Good evening, Rabbi. So tonight's shiur is Leilu Nishmas, my grandfather, Rabbi Kusiel Zeiv, Ben Rav, Rabbi Shmuel, Zichroni Livrochem. Before we start with the actual shiur, I very much feel that it's not for me really to say Divrei Hesped, as you know, but I just feel that we can't have a daily shiur speaking on so regularly and frequently about the Godel HaDor of Wozen Zichroni Livrochem. And I feel that it would be inappropriate for us not to just, as the Shloshim, as we approach the Shloshim of Rav Ozen Zichroni Livrocha, just say a few words. The Rav also insisted very much that we can't have a shir which we, if not on a daily basis, at least on a weekly basis, we speak about the psokim and we mention the psokim of Rav Ozen Zichroni Livrocha. It would be inappropriate for us to just continue. He wasn't left over Pesach, but at least for the Shloshim, just to say a couple of words. The Gemara says that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were nifta ben Pesach la'atzeres. 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 Zugas Talmidim were nifta ben Pesach la'atzeres. We see from that Gadlus in Torah, that why were they nifta? Why were they nifta? So the Rishonim explained that the reason why they were nifta is because they couldn't have been leaders. If Rabbi Akiva had Talmidim, they might have known lots of Torah. But they couldn't have been leaders in Klal Yisrael. They couldn't have been leaders in Klal Yisrael. They weren't royal to be leaders. Why not? The Gemara says, Lo nagu kovod zeh bezeh. They weren't respect for one another. Which means that they were Talmidim as far as the Torah is concerned. They were Talmidim with Rabbi Akiva. But they didn't have enough Torah. They didn't have enough Midas. Lo nagu kovod zeh bezeh. They were not respectful. Consequently, they weren't royal. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't want them to be leaders in Klal Yisrael. They couldn't have been leaders. They had Torah. They weren't respectful. There's no mockum for them to be leaders in Klal Yisrael. But what was it exactly that there were no respect? What did they do? So we know that 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shavuos. What was it exactly that they did? What does it mean? What did they do exactly? What was exactly the action that they did that because of that they died? So Rav Moshe Matrikab explains that with a very interesting Gemara. He brings in all the Gemara in Ksuvos. And the Gemara in Ksuvos says that we all know that Rabbi Akiva himself, he approached his future wife, Rivka, was a daughter of Kalvus Savua, the most wealthy individual in Eretz Yisrael. He was an extremely rich man. And he had a daughter. And Rabbi Akiva, was at that point only Akiva, wanted to marry her. And she saw obviously the potential in him. And she said, okay, fine. But he said, I'm going to need to learn Torah. He went to learn Torah for 12 years. Came back after 12 years and he overheard her saying to probably Eliyahu Novi, as the Mefarshim explained, said, you know, if I could, I would send him should stay another 12 years if it would be in my hands. And then he turns, makes a U-turn, he goes back and he goes to learn Torah another 12 years. He comes back with 24,000 Talmidim. What's very interesting, the Gemara then says some very interesting words. The Gemara says that when he came back, Rabbi Akiva, with 24,000 Talmidim, he came back to see his wife. What happened then is that the Talmidim pushed, they wanted to go towards Rabbi Akiva to say every word of Torah that he said. They wanted to hear him. And as he approached his wife, who hadn't seen him for so many years, wanted to approach him, and they pushed a little bit to the side. They pushed him because they wanted to see, what is he going to say? What are the words of Torah that our great Rabbi Akiva is going to say? And they pushed her to the side. And they pushed one another as well. And they somehow managed to, and she said, This is my husband. And he says, you know, Rabbi said, whatever I've got in Torah, I was zoche to have to my wife. That's what the Gemara said. But it's very interesting to note that they pushed one another. Why did they push? Obviously they pushed to hear Torah. But we see from here, says Rav Moshe Matrikab, that although you push to hear Torah, pushing is lemaisa lanagu kovod zeh bezeh. Because of that pushing, although you're only pushing, you're only a bit disrespectful, and the whole reason why you're doing that is to hear Torah, you're stepping on somebody else's toes to hear Torah, that's considered Nagu Kovod Zeh Bezeh. This was the Nagu Kovod Zeh Bezeh that Talmidim Rabbi Akiva did, and because of that, they weren't zoche to be leaders in Klal Yisrael, and indeed, they died. This is it. Although they did it to hear Torah, but if you're disrespectful to hear Torah, that's what happens. This is how Rav Moshe Matrikab explains in his Akdoma to Shavuos, that explains what they did exactly that they deserved such a severe punishment. I just feel that I myself, and by all accounts, I'm not a Talmud of Rav Ozna, but I was zoche to go to him a number of times. I will never forget the first time I went to Rav Ozna. The very first time I was, I was a bocha. My mom was a young bocha. And through protector, a cousin of mine, he's a very close Talmud of his. He managed that. I was a 15, 17-year-old bocha. I went to Avozna. I'll never forget this. I went to Avozna and I was there for maybe 5-10 minutes. I will never forget the warmth that emerged, how gentle, how warm he was. This was a Yid who was then already in his 80s. And this was a Yid who was lead. The whole shoulders of Klal Yisrael was on his, the whole weight of Klal Yisrael was on his shoulders. But the warmth, I don't remember the words that he told me. I really, really don't remember. But the warmth, the warmth and the love that he gave to a totally unknown bocha that just came around, there's something we all remember, and I will always remember that. This warmth that, and he gave me so much time, he asked me, what do I learn? Where do I learn? What do I do? As if he really cared. And he probably really did care. This warmth is something which is the absolute opposite of Lo'enu'agu Kovod Zeh. And without a doubt, this is why he was the Posek Gadol. If I can just add one more incident which I had when I saw him a few years after that. I was once by Rav Vozna a number of years later, and it wasn't for an urgent matter. It was just for a very, it was actually not an urgent matter, but it was something which I wanted to discuss with him. And I went and there was a Kabbalah's call. There was a room there, you could just wait until it's going to be your turn. Every evening it was an hour, one and a half, that people could just wait, and eventually you get your turn. I was there, and I wasn't the first one there. I came quite late. And then eventually the Gabba asked me, what do you come for? I said, I would like to discuss something with Rav Vozna. He told me, is it really, really urgent? I said, to be honest, it's not really urgent. He said, does it need to happen tonight? I said, no. He said, well, because, you know, there's the cut-off time, and then unfortunately I can't come in, because he's very makbid about the cut-off time. I said, okay, I understand, it's not urgent. There was more urgent cases before me. I said, okay, I understand, I'll come back tomorrow. But what I did, and I will forget that, when the cut-off time came, I don't remember, it was 8:30 or sometime in the evening, they shut it was like sliding doors. And I tried to be the last one out, because I want to peep through the sliding doors. So you know what, you know, Bochim, you know, you want to see what goes on. So what happens during this cut-off time? So I saw how they closed, it was a grandson, he closed the sliding doors, and they couldn't completely close. It was like a half an inch, which was, you couldn't completely shut. And I couldn't, you know, the temptation was just too, I had to peep inside. And I did. And that sight, Rabbi Isai, I will never forget. Because what I saw was that exactly at that time, it was a cut-off time, I peeped in and I saw Rabbi Ozna open the Shulchan Aruch with his huge, on the one hand, his seriousness, but at the same time, with his smile on his face, open the Shulchan Aruch with a hat on, and he started learning. That was the cut-off time. Now he needs to learn. He has given his time for Klal Yisrael, now he needs to learn Torah. But this approach of one and this smile, he was happy to go to this Shulchan Aruch, and at the same time, the seriousness, he was wearing the hat, and he was wearing it with this approach, is something which I won't forget. That was it. Now he's cut off, now he needs to learn Torah. Something which really made the Gevaldige Roshem on me. And I just want to finish off with one more point, which I just heard yesterday. We all know the famous story that has been going around recently about Rav Vozna's, how his the root of Rav Vozna, about his mother. I'm sure you all heard the story that Rav Vozna's, I'm sure you all heard about Rav Vozna, that his mother really was, he came from a very humble background, and his mother was a very, very good singer. She had a very beautiful voice, and she was approached, she had an opportunity, if I understand, having a job and a shtetl in the opera. And at point at that time, some say the Chotke Rebbe, some say the Chofetz Chaim was in Vienna. And then, I don't know if she approached him or he asked her to come, various nuschos. But the Chofetz Chaim and the Chotke Rebbe, this tzaddik, they called and he said, you know, if you don't take this offer, she had a very beautiful voice, she was a young girl. He said, if you don't take that job, if you don't go there, I guarantee you're going to have a son who's going to be light for Klal Yisrael. And she wasn't, the temptation was very, very big. She really wanted to. She really wanted a career in the opera. That's something. And she was mevatel, and she said she was moist and nefesh for Torah. She gave up. She said, "Okay, I'm not going to do it." And she married. And her son, of course, was Shmuel Halevi Vozna. Very interesting. And that's the point I want to add to this. Rav Vozna himself never related that story. Throughout his whole life, he never related that story. And the question was, why does he not say that story? Why does he not say? Of course, there's a bit of one could understand a little bit, but he would never said that story, and he never denied it, but he never really said that story. A grandson of Rav Vozina told me that very recently, only a number of months ago, Rav Vozina was approached and said, why don't you say, you agree that this story is true, why don't you say that story? And Rav Vozina said, and he said, explain the following. He said, because if I ever got anywhere in Torah in my life, I don't know if I got anywhere in Torah in my life, but if I ever got anywhere in Torah, it's not because of a bracha. If people were to think that it's just because of a bracha that my mother got from the Chofetz Chaim, a bracha that my mother got by the Tshotke v'Rebbe, and that's why somebody grows in Torah, that would give, would be very misleading, that would give wrong impression. If I ever got somewhere in Torah, it's because I sat and learned. If I ever got anywhere in Torah, if I ever achieved any godliness in Torah, it's because I sat and learned Torah. And therefore, it would be very misleading to spread this story and to understand this is the end result of a bracha. This is what Rav Vozina said, Shor b'zoicha, to be mischazek from this godl hador. We are up to Simon Yud, and we shall be carrying on in Mitzvah Hashem from Seif Hey. I want to add though a short point with regards to Seif Dalet. Before we proceed with Seif Hey, I didn't manage to speak about that briefly. I just quickly want to mention that. In Seif Dalet, we spoke about the main material of the talus cotton or the tzitzis. The main material, if it's mainly out of material which is chayv b'tzitzis or mainly material which is not chayv, but remember about the leather. So, interestingly, we see over here, it's absolutely evident and clear from the Shulchan Aruch, the leather is potter from tzitzis. So the question is, I mean, it's something it's we have to understand. If you look in Siman Tes, Seif Aleph, we see that the Ramah, Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss which material is a chayv b'tzitzis. And what was the Maskon Rabbeisai? Right, the Shulchan Aruch says that ein chayv tzitzis min ha-teira, only linen and wool. What does the Ramah say on that? We learned that the Ramah says any material is chayv b'tzitzis. Anyway, so what's the question, Rabbi Yisai? What about leather? Yeah, why is leather potter? So we have a Mefusha Ramah that says any material is chayv b'tzitzis midoraisa. Oh, very good. 1 second, but let's just get the question before the answer. The question is, any material is chayv b'tzitzis. So how come that leather is very clearly, is potter b'tzitzis. Why is that? What's the difference? So you're quite right. The emesit is a very, very important machloekes achronim, and that's why I'm mentioning it over here. It's very important because of the more recent materials, synthetic materials which have been developed more recently, are those chayv b'tzitzis or not. And the source of this psak is mamash this halach over here. If you want to know if nylon or any synthetic tzitzis are chayv b'tzitzis or not, is it doime to oir, is it like hide, is it like leather, or is it like what the Ramah says, any material is chayv b'tzitzis. So to understand that, we need to know what is the difference. So you're quite right. Many mefarshim pasken that Ramosh says there's a few tshuvas in Achronim about it. Many poskim lemaisa pasken what you're saying depends if it's woven or not. Depends if it's a material which can be woven. If it's a material which can be woven, that's what Ramosh is talking about, and that is chayv b'tzitzis. Leather undoubtedly cannot be woven, and therefore is going to be potter b'tzitzis. So that, of course, is a bit of a question with regards to synthetics. It's a bit questionable, but that's where really the machloekes boils down to. The consensus of the poskim is that you chayv b'tzitzis, but you shouldn't really make a bracha on most of those materials. You shouldn't really make a bracha. Have already said chatchila. Right, this is, yeah.
Can you say it's definitely can be woven or is woven?
It can be. Yeah, but you can't really call that. It's not comparable to any other material. It's not the same. It's not woven per se. It's not really.
It's made out of wool.
Right. Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, interesting question. Yeah, interesting question. Okay, this is without start machlokes, and I'm just mentioning it in context of the oir over here. I'd like to thank Mr. Vagod, who's not present tonight, for the mamakomis he gave me in this on the shaila. Okay, Sifei. Hoyu lo sholosh kanfas. If it's a three corner, if it's a bag of three corners. So you've got a garment which has three corners. Now what do we speak about three corners? So but he did, he wants to be particularly stringent, and although there was a three corner which really is potu, he however put three tzitzis on the three corners, which of course didn't have to, because only a garment which has four tzitzis is chayev. But he had three and he put on three tzitzis. Hoyu lo sholish kanfas, ve'osavim sholish tzitzis. Put three tzitzis on the three corners. Now, what did he do is, v'shuv osu lo knaf revi'im, he cut off a corner. What happens when he cuts off a corner? Becomes a, he creates a fourth corner. So now there's four corners. And he now added a tzitzis to the fourth corner. Now the halacha is, may sound surprising, the halacha is psula. The whole tzitzis is possible. Again, what happened? He had three corners. There was three tzitzis, which weren't chayev, but he had put three tzitzis on the three corners. What he did was, he cut off one of the corners and thereby creating a fourth corner. The three tzitzis were present. Now, by adding a fourth, is actually what he's doing. Really, he's adding a tzitzis, but the tzitzis becomes possible, remains possible. Why is that? Mishum ta'ase v'loy mina osui. This leads us to a fascinating concept of ta'ase v'loy mina osui, which we all know from other areas of halacha, such like by sukkah, we find it by mezuzah, find it other areas of halacha. Ta'ase v'loy mina osui. Let us see how the Mishneh Berurah explains this. Sefkot new dalad in Mishneh Berurah. Mishum tase, roitzeloima, deksiv, as it says in the posuk, kidilim tase lecha, you should do tzitzis, are abo kanfos on the four corners. Mashma, it seems, sheyu are kanfos asuyois, that the four corners should be made, the four corners should be existing, koidib shenasu atzitzis, before the tzitzis are attached. So you need to have the four corners, and only then you put the tzitzis on, and not vice versa. V'loi shenasu atzitzis koidim akanfas. You tase v'loi mina osui. You have to put on the tzitzis to the corners, and not have tzitzis, and then create a corner. Because what's happening now is that you're making a corner to after the tzitzis are here. And that is a psul of tase v'loi mina osui. V'havvelei, as the Mishneh Berurah says on the top line, v'havvelei tase v'loi mina osui v'psulim. And it's possible. So what does that mean? Aloch l'mais, the Mishneh Berurah says, consequently, alkein, tzorich la'atirim, you have to release them, open them up, v'lachsoir, and return l'koshram, and put them again. That's what the Mishneh Berurah says. You have to open them up and rebind them again. Only the first three you need to undo, that those three tzitzis were created in a state of psul. But the fourth and final tzitzis, which you attach to the baget, you won't have to open that one up, because that one was done after the corner, so that's fine. This was one done. And the fact that the first three tzitzis were possible doesn't puzzle and invalidate the fourth one. So if we hear the concept of tase v'loy mina osui, you have to first have the corners and then you put the tzitzis on, and you can't have the corners. The corners after the tzitzis. So over here, therefore, it's tase v'loy mina osui, and the tzitzis is possible. Okay, continues the Shulchan Aruch. We say vav. Ein koyfrin is atalis umatilin tzitzis al knofel. K'moshek fulo. Okay, this is talking about a very wide, long garment. Okay, imagine very long. Okay, now you've got a very long, oversized type of four-cornered garment. Okay, you put it on, imagine it's like tzitzis, but it's much longer. Now, you can't put it on like this, it's too much, it's too big. What you want to do is you fold it, and only once it's folded, you put it on you. Where are you going to put the tzitzis, Rabbi Yisai? Because it's folded. It's folded long, and now you fold it. You've got half the, and that's how you put it on you. Where are you going to put the tzitzis? Yeah?
If it's sewn, then you should put
the good. Out. And if it's not?
Then you
shouldn't. So where should you put the tzitzis?
Because you're not going to keep it like that.
Oh, that's very interesting. Does everybody agree to that? What do you think?
Put both of the tzitzis on the same side.
Okay, tut is on either side when it's unfolded. Okay. Set the Shulchan Aruch. Ein Köfnis HaTalis. You're not allowed to fold the talis. Umatin in tzitzis al knofel. And in its folded state, you put two tzitzis in the front and two in the back. That's no good. K'moy sheik, follow, when it's folded. You can't do that. You can't do that. So where are you going to put the tzitzis? Avol tzorich lehatel ba'aba knofel apshutim. The place, the correct place of putting the tzitzis is in the four corners when it's in its unfolded state. So in other words, when it's open up, that's where the four tzitzis go. And even whilst it's folded, it's okay to have the four tzitzis. It's either going to be in the front or in the back, but it's going to be the folded position. That's where the four tzitzis are going to be. Elohim Kain, unless Tofro Kula, unless it's sewn together, beautiful, unless it's sewn together, Vafilam Ruach Echot, only for one side. So what it means is the following. If you put it on you in its folded state, so the fact that it just folded, that doesn't make it. You know, can you come for a minute? Sorry. Okay, the fact that it's, so if it would be very big, so the fact that I'm folding it, and now all the four tzitzis are going to be in the back, there's no reason because of that, just because it's folded, there's no reason it should be tzitzit over here. Because ultimately, it's not the real shape of the baguette. The baguette really is, has got four corners, and this is not really a corner. It's not really a corner over here. Just because I folded it doesn't make it into a corner. Yeah? Yeah, but what happens if it's sewn even on one side, either here or here, on either side, if it's sewn, what happens then? Exactly. Very good. We have recreated the corners then. Because once I've sewn it, what happens then is that really this now and this becomes now a new corner. It's created now a corner. It's not really folded anymore. Well, it's permanently folded. And therefore, it's you're going to be chai b'tzitz on either side. Yeah. Yeah. So what were you saying that one? Right, that's a good point. That's a very good point. So what's the chilek? Over there we find, yeah, because over here there would be no option of cutting it. Over there it's as opposed to cutting. That, over there... Yeah, over there we are saying, over there the svara is, that since I didn't cut it, it's not permanent. So over here, but there's no option really of cutting it, I suppose. I would cut it through. Yeah, it's a good svara. Not sure. Good point. I don't know. Rabbi Yisrael, any answers?
That's the whole idea. It should be doubled over. If you're anywhere wearing it doubled over, the idea is that it's thicker.
Yeah.
Over here, what's the point of making a corner?
Yeah, I hear. I don't know. It's a good point. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Ramah. Ve'yesh o'imrim, some say, the chayavina afilu beloy tefira. There's an opinion that holds that even if it is not... So, and if it's just folded, you still need to put tzitzis there. But he does say the Ramah is not so happy about it. He says, "V'toiv lasos lo tzitzis avloi v'orecholeh." He says, if you're going to keep it like that, if it's really permanently going to wear it like that, folded, without, and it's not sewn, you could put tzitzis on, but don't make a bracha. The Mishneh Berurah is not so happy about that, and it's not so positive paskin like that, Ramah. Okay. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Hitel tzitzis al tzitzis. This is now talking about a different scenario altogether. You've got tzitzis on the four corners. But what you did is you added tzitzis on each, in other words, in each hole, you put on two tzitzis. Ever done that? Yeah, you put two tzitzis in. You put on four in. Okay. So he says he tells tzitzis al tzitzis. You put some tzitzis on top of tzitzis. So now the halacha is: are you allowed to do that? By the way, exactly, you're not actually allowed to do it because of Baltosif. But he did it. There's Baltosif. You're adding to the mitzvah, so you're not really allowed to do it. But he did it. So he tells tzitzis al tzitzis. Im nischaven levat larishoino. If your intention was to cancel out the first tzitzis that was there already, then choytech harishoyna v'ksheiro, you're allowed to cut off the first tzitzis that was in the hole, v'ksheiro, and the tzitzis remains kosher. V'im nischaven lehoisef, but if you just intended to add permanently there, even eventually you're going to cut off one of them, psulei remains posul. V'yesh machshirim b'chol inyan, and some are machshit, b'chol inyan v'chein ikka, and that's the halacha. So, that's how paskens. V'koidim shechotach harishoinos posul b'chol inyan. And before you cut it off, it's certainly posul. Before you cut off any of the two tzitzis, if there was two tzitzis on each hole, it's certainly posul. Besides the fact you're over baltoisiv, the tzitzis certainly posul. Mishnah Berurah of Kotten Chof Aleph says in Sif Kotten Chof Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah says, Bechol Inyan, Hainu Ben Shin Ischav Levatel, On Ischav Lehoisif, you certainly can't have two tzitzis there. Whether your intention was to add or to mevatel the first one, either way, you're not allowed to have two tzitzis in each hole. Ben Shechotach Rishonos or Ashnias, whether you cut off the first or the second, whilst there's two tzitzis in one of the holes, you're certainly over Baltoisif and you're also going to be, the tzitzis remains possible.